Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today we will continue in our current series of studies, The Remarkable Threes in Scripture. On our last broadcast, we studied the Godhead as a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it would seem that after we considered that three, that everything else would be an anticlimax. But I have another another study today, Man a Trinity, which will be, I think, very interesting. And then we trust that after we see man as a Trinity and God as a Trinity, then the other subjects that we will consider, three time zones of the grace of God, three attributes of man, three stages of spiritual growth, the Christian's threefold enemy, that they will not seem anticlimactic. All right, today we want to consider man as a trinity. Each body, each person rather, has a body, a soul, and a spirit. Now we refer to our trinity. God created us that way. It says in Genesis chapter 1 that God created man in his own image. God is a trinity. So man is a trinity. And now we often refer to our trinity as body, soul, and spirit. But the Bible reverses that order in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. The Bible recognizes man as a trinity. Let's read that scripture, please. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you notice it's reversed. Spirit is first, then soul and body. We refer to it as body, soul, and spirit. Now, this is the way God looks at things. He puts the spirit first and the soul second, right close to it, as a matter of fact. And he puts them there because they're the most important. Oh, we take such good care of our bodies. We feed them. We take them to the doctor. We let our bodies almost sometimes run our lives. Paint it up if it's necessary and get the hair cut. We take such care of our bodies. We're geared in that fashion. And we neglect the fact of the soul and the spirit, that part of us that God gives. Our parents, our biological parents, gave us our body. But God had to give the soul and the spirit. We just can't get it anyplace else. We read, for instance, in Ezekiel 18 and 4. We read there where the prophet writes, "Behold, all souls are mine." He's quoting God's words. "Behold, all souls are mine," God says. "As the soul of the Father, so also is the soul of the Son. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Our parents gave us biologically a body. But God gave the soul and the spirit, and it belongs to Him. It's His property. He gave us that. And we oftentimes fail to emphasize the spiritual aspect of our lives. We just go on in this mundane world and try to keep up with our responsibilities, our taxes, and everything else that we owe. And so we have here the fact that God indeed gives us the spirit and the soul, and He wants us to give it preeminence over the body. Paul speaks about driving his body, making his body his servant in the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now, the spirit gives us God consciousness. We read in Proverbs 20 and 27 these words, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the body." This is our spirit, small s. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The God gave us our spirits, and then He searches us, all the parts of our body, so to speak, the inward parts of the soul. God gave us that spirit. And God gave us our spirits and our souls for a purpose. Our parents could give us our bodies, yes. But God only could give us our spirits and our souls. We read in Ezekiel 18 and 4, as we've already read, "Behold, all souls are mine." God gave the soul. And that in this trinity of life, It's so wonderful to realize that the three are combined together. Now, let's talk about the functions of our spirits and our souls and our bodies. Let's talk about the spirit first. That's the order that God gives it. Because God is a spirit, and we communicate with him on that level. We have to do it. We communicate with God on that level. John chapter 4, if you please. We'll read in verses 22 to 24. Ye worship, ye know not what, the Lord tells the Samaritan woman. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God gave us a spirit that we might communicate with him on that level. He first brings us before, and through the Spirit, through the Spirit of God, he brings before us our sin by the Spirit of God. John 16, chapter 16, 8 and 9, there we read, and when he has come, the Lord promised the Spirit, and then he tells his disciples, when he has come, that Spirit has come, he will reprove or convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment, because they believe not on him. Now, God communicated with our spirit. If we're Christians in the past, in our experience, God communicated with us, and he brought before us our sin. Then he brings before us our Savior, who took away that sin. And we read in John chapter 3 about that spirit and his work. We read in verse 6 and verse 7, that which is born of the spirit, flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. I have said over this broadcast a number of times that in the matter of our salvation, that we are born into God's family. And just as we're born into God's family to receive the life that fits us for this world, we have to be born into God's family. That fits us for that spirit, that life that he gives us when we're born into God's family, fits us to live for eternity. And certainly that spirit keeps on with us, you and me, through our spirit. And he convinces us of our need of Christ, and then he shows us salvation. We read there in John 3:16, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. No, I'm getting ahead of myself. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Spirit convicts us of our sin. He brings Christ before us, as the children of Israel were told by Moses, to look at the serpent on the brass on the pole to heal them from the snake bite. We are commanded to look at the cross. What happened on that cross? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now the Spirit teaches us the word and the will of God. 1 Corinthians 2:10 we read there, but God hath revealed them to us through his Spirit, through our spirit now. This is the function of the Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now let's talk about our souls. The soul, the word of God distinguishes between the soul and the spirit. We read in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 these words. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now here, the Spirit of God, through the word of God, divides between the soul and the spirit, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. They're not the same. The spirit serves us and makes us God-conscious. The soul makes us self-conscious. And then, of course, the body gives us world consciousness. Now, let's think of the soul in this way. The soul gives us self-consciousness, and that through all the emotions of the human life, through the through the five senses of the soul, we have world consciousness. But through the soul, we have joy on the one hand, we have sorrow on the other. I'd like to read what I think are the extreme examples of joy and sorrow. We read in Mark chapter 14, verses 33 and 34, "And he taketh Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and be very heavy. And he saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." The soul of us experiences the emotions. The spirit knows, but the soul experiences emotions. And that was the supreme example when he says, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." Christ knew he had to go to the cross and die for our sins. And oh, that is the supreme example of sorrow. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Oh, that is a supreme example of sorrow. Let's pick up an example of joy. Psalm 35 and verse 9. "And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation." I think the greatest joy that comes to the human heart is to know. Is to know indeed that I'm saved, that I'm going to be in heaven. And that is the supreme joy, that the wonderful example of joy in our lives. How wonderful to know these things and to experience them. We're a trinity, body, soul, and spirit. The body, as we have already said, gives us self-consciousness, and rather the body gives us world consciousness. The soul gives us self-consciousness, and the spirit gives us God consciousness. Now how, we've already hinted by a slip of the tongue a few moments ago, that the body gives us world consciousness through the five senses. We have the senses, the five senses, and through those senses we have body consciousness, or the world consciousness. And through the consideration of the threefold being, we can enjoy life as God intended. We live in the world. He's given us eyesight. And if you're driving a car, you better not be blind. And you better not be deaf either. If you're doing a lot of things, you see, our senses actually equip us to live this life. I think that these studies here of the world, the flesh, and the soul and the spirit and the body give us a consciousness of what we can experience, and the coordination is beautiful. God has made us a person. We're a trinity. Praise his name. Father, help us to consider these wonderful subjects and of your wonderful creation, even in our own bodies. We pray in Christ's name, giving thanks. Amen.